Hi there. We're so glad you found the Fabric Podcast. Before you start listening, we wanted to let you know that this is one of our earlier episodes where our show was called The Check-In. On these episodes, we talk about the company, giving you insight into who we are and what we do. But in 2019, we realized we really want to focus more on company culture. So we refocused and renamed the podcast. So just a heads up that this earlier episode is still us, the team from The Receptionist, but just with a different show name and a slightly different focus. Thanks for listening. On this episode of The Check-In, we are joined by Dalynn Berry, Director of Engineering, and we're talking all about what you do when your customers want something else from you. So we're talking feature requests. Now, Dalynn has been with The Receptionist for a long time. He was the second hire when CEO Andy took over. So he shares with us what it has been like from the beginning to get feature requests to current day. Everyone on The Receptionist works hard together. So customer service, salespeople, they're all reporting back when feature requests come in. So Dalynn and I talk about how they sort through this, how they decide what to work on, and how some of those feature requests are actually bugs being disguised as requests. So how they handle those immediately to make sure that everyone is having a really good customer service experience. So we check in about radical customer support and how that shows itself in these feature requests as well. So this was a really interesting episode. I learned a lot about the inner workings of the company. Enjoy. Well, I am so excited to be joined by Dalynn Berry, the Director of Engineering for The Receptionist, and we are going to talk all about when your customers want something else. So before we get into that, Dalynn, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at The Receptionist?
Yeah, sure, Sarah. My name is Dalynn Berry. I'm the, as you said, the Director of Engineering. I was the second hire for the company, so I came on to oversee the product and shepherd it into where it's at today. I also hired one other iOS developer to work on my team, so I kind of work on the web-facing part of the app, and then Ryan, my iOS developer, works on the actual app that runs on the iPad that visitors interact with.
And so obviously you were the second hire, but the product already existed. So what was that like for you to come into a company where things were already sort of moving along?
The product was started by another company. And then when we took it on, Andy had a couple of contractors in place to kind of carried over from the company that he purchased the product from. Yeah, it was an interesting little transition where like I kind of had to come in, get up to speed with like, what does this product even do? Mm-hmm. How does it work? How does it function? Oh, it does that. And then, you know, kind of stabilize it, get my feet firmly kind of on the ground, understand where things were at, and then kind of put together a vision for where we wanted to take the product. And obviously that was done hand in hand with other members of the team, but primarily myself and Andy. And then we also focused very heavily on customers and what they're asking us. So we take a lot of customer input into place to help inform that decision of where we're going to take the product.
Yeah, and so that's what we'll focus on today. But I'm curious, if we kind of go back to when you began with the team, and like you said, you were wrapping your head around what does this product do, and kind of, like you said, stabilizing yourself and some of the functionality, knowing that customers are really important. Were you taking their feedback in the beginning of things they wanted, or did you just sort of say, I need to get my head around this as the director of engineering, and then we'll get the feedback? Like, did you get the customers involved early, or did that take a little bit longer?
It's a little bit of both. The customers kind of already had an open channel to talking with us via support and things like that. We would kind of be constantly, well, and in the early days, like, I'll be brutally honest, like, there were a lot of oddities and bugs and little idiosyncrasies that, you know, like just kind of caused confusion for the customer.
Right.
We would take that feedback like immediately, and chances are like we would have to go in and fix something on their behalf, or, you know, fix something real time for them to kind of get it to work the way it was intended to, because the software was, you know, kind of very MVP. So there were still kind of some bugs. That definitely played a heavy role into like what the initial focus of the product was, which is to make it as stable as possible so we could cut down on customer service requests and not spend a bunch of time, you know, helping people try and figure out the product. We wanted to make it more approachable and usable from the customer's perspective. Not that we didn't want to talk to customers, it's just we didn't want to talk to them about the problems that they were having. We wanted to talk to them about the problems they were trying to solve and how our product could help them solve those problems, as opposed to the problems they were having using our software.
Right. That makes sense. That in the beginning, it sounds like it was more of that, let's get these problems solved so then we can get really to what are you looking to fix and improve on, and then improving the receptionist even more. to meet the needs of your customers.
Exactly.
So if we go to kind of current day feature requests, share with us a little bit about, you know, how do these come in? Do, you know, are people specifically saying, here's what I would love it if the product could do, or is it a little more like, you know, just in conversation, you realize, oh, this would be a great feature. How are you actually getting this feedback from the clients that turns into requests that you then work on?
Yeah, so all of the requests obviously come from talking with the customer, but there are a couple of different avenues that happens. The first and primary one is via customer support. So we use a product called Intercom on our website to handle customer chat and support. So a lot of times when a customer comes in, they may have an idea or wish the product would do something, or they're looking for a specific feature because they're comparing us to a competitor, let's say, that has a feature that we don't. Intercom, we have the ability to tag those conversations with feature requests. And then I can kind of get into the behind-the-scenes part of that later, I think. But then, like, the other avenue is when a salesperson is either having email exchanges with a prospective customer or a phone conversation, there's oftentimes kind of a similar behavior and reaction. And the salespeople will email those feature requests or ideas to a special email address that we set up as well. And then kind of the third one is kind of the features that we see as needing to be built in order to take the company and the product in the direction that we want to. And you know, we kind of are having conversations with customers, like where we have an idea, we go out and we reach, we think, oh, this idea would actually be really good for customer X, Y, and Z. So let's go out and talk to those people and kind of get some of their feedback on, is this actually something that, and help validate this idea that we have, is that something that they're actually interested in? Because there's nothing worse than like building something that someone that ends up not using too. So those are kind of the three avenues where we get feature ideas and requests.
Well, I love that. And I know that the receptionist as a company really does a great job at having each department work together. And so I know there are times where as customers, you feel like, oh, I gave feedback to customer service, but that's never making it to the person who can make changes. And I know that that's not what's happening at the receptionist, that you all work together, you've got this concept of radical customer service, and that information is then making it back to you. So I'm curious, you yourself, are you then talking to the customers as well? Or, you know, is that mostly going through the other departments within the company?
That kind of depends on the feature itself. So oftentimes, you know, when there's a chat going on or an email that gets sent in, so all of this information comes into another product that we use called Product Board, which helps organize feature requests, create a roadmap, kind of plan features out, that kind of thing. I go in there and I kind of see all these inputs from the various departments or customers or what have you into Product Board. And because that's linked to things like Intercom and the email that it actually comes in from, I can either jump directly back into the email thread or into the Intercom conversation, and maybe I'll leave a note for the customer service person and say, hey, I have a question about what this person is asking. Would you mind kind of following up? That way I'm not spending all my time doing follow-up. They can kind of, since they have that relationship, like I can just say, hey, did you think about asking this question? They can take that back to the customer. Sometimes when it's clear that, you know, exactly what the person means, and I'm just interested in finding out, like, how important is this thing? Like, is this preventing this person from doing their job, or is it just kind of a nice to have thing, or, you know, like some kind of pie in the sky idea that they have? Like, I will reach out to the customer via email or phone and have a conversation with that person to kind of get a sense of what they're actually trying to accomplish. Because I think that's the other kind of hidden secret sauce in product development is kind of like, you know, the customer has an idea, but they don't necessarily know the best way to implement it. And it's not until you kind of ask those three or four specific questions that kind of help tease things out, but then, you know, and maybe you introduce another idea. Would it be easier if this problem was actually solved this way? And then like a light bulb for them goes off. It's like, oh yeah, that would be so much better than this thing that I thought.
Right.
But if you don't have that conversation with that person, like, and you just take them at face value, you're actually going to end up building something that it probably doesn't help them out at the end of the day and is actually more frustrating. So,
right. Andy and I touched on this topic, and we talked about jobs to be done on one of the episodes. And it's really trying to look at what is the job that they are hiring you and your product to do. And if you don't understand that, you're not going to give them what they ultimately need.
Exactly. Yep.
So let's back up just slightly. I mean, you've already touched on this, but why do you think it's important to look at these feature requests? Because I could see some companies feeling like, well, we know what we want to do. We know where we want to go. We have plans. You obviously listen to your customers. So why would that be Why is that important?
I think from our perspective, like the customer is the lifeblood of the company, right? If you're not doing something that gets them excited or solves the problem that they're actually looking to solve, you're just building something for yourself and not for them. And at the end of the day, it's what the customer wants that's the most important thing, because what you have to do is convince them that this feature that you have is worth the money that they're willing to pay you for it.
Right.
And if you instead are just building these other things that they really don't care about, like, yeah, you might attract a new, different kind of set of customer, but chances are you have a really good probability of alienating the people who you already have. So I think like our customer-focused centric viewpoint of the world and how to run product is just kind of core to how we then engage with the customers on feature requests, instead of just kind of being off in our own little world, building things that nobody ends up using. You know, like I hate the idea of putting something out there that nobody uses. You know, I'd much rather have something be a huge success that people love, or conversely, like something that isn't quite right and continue to kind of talk with the customer through fixing it, as opposed to just leaving it out there or throwing something out there and not having anyone use it at all.
Right. So then how do you decide what to make changes on? Because I could imagine that there are times where a request comes in and it's just, you know, well, we don't do that. That's, you know, that's not what this is for, or we're not going that direction, or yeah, that's a great idea. Let's look into this. Is there a system that you use for how that happens, whether it's, you know, we look at new requests and on an ongoing basis, or every 6 months we're rolling out changes? What's the process for you?
There's kind of two categories that this kind of stuff falls under, I think. One, I would say, is like a feature request an actual bug that's kind of couched as a feature request.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the actual like true feature. One of the things I'm most proud about is like these feature requests that are disguised as really bugs. Those are something that we take very seriously, like, and actually strive to eliminate as quickly as possible. Because somebody comes in and says, you know, I want the product to do this. And we're like, but it already does that. You just have to do it this, you know, other way. Like, that's feedback to us directly that like, we didn't make the thing as intuitive for the person as possible. So we tend to focus on those really quickly, especially when we've just rolled out a new feature, to try and, you know, kind of sand down those rough edges of things. Because when we start hearing that kind of feature request as a bug, as I categorize it, the sooner we can improve those, the better adoption rate and pickup of the feature we're going to get. And people are going to, you know, feel endeared by us, like taking that and fixing it really quickly too. So then the other side is kind of like actual feature requests. And sometimes we do get things that are very out of left field. You know, someone wants the product to do something that, like, opening and closing doors is a good example. Like, we get this one all the time. And we, at the time that we get those feature requests, we definitely still log them, but then we set the expectation back with the customer. Like, you know, this is something that's not on our short or medium term roadmap. And we may get there and we've logged this feature. So in the future, if we decide to take this on, we will reach back to you and bring you into that process and help you define it. You can be a first person to beta test it, that kind of thing. But we set that expectation that's, you know, chances are this isn't coming anytime soon. That's another problem that I've seen in product organizations where, you know, like either sales or customer support, like, tries to, you know, kind of guide people along and say, you know, oh yeah, it's coming, or yeah, right, we're planning on it, you know, or whatever. And then like that sets a false expectation to the customer, which then just causes them to get frustrated in 6 months when they thought it was going to be there and then it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then with features that we are kind of like actively working on and know that they're coming, like, we set that expectation with the customer too. And we say, you know, oh, we actually filed another request for this, you know, just 2 days ago, or I know we're working on this, and we will get back to you when it becomes available. So that's kind of the path on the formal feature request side.
Right. And you're a small team. I mean, it's you and one other person. So how does that influence your ability to make the changes or adjustments that people might be looking for?
I don't know that the size of the team necessarily impacts that. I mean, it obviously impacts potentially like how much we can crank out.
Mm-hmm.
But as a small team of two, like, I've actually been really, really impressed with how quickly we can address some of these things and get things out to customers. But in terms of like how a feature request impacts us directly, I would say it's pretty minimal, because like what we do is, because we keep the features in a, you know, we track them in a separate place, like, they're not going to go anywhere. So then I can then moderate how much stuff is coming into us and is being worked on and prioritize things. That way we don't feel like, oh God, we have 100 things to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we're paralyzed by that 100 things. And so we don't get anything done. We can like focus it down to here are the two or three things that we're actually working on right now. And as soon as we get those done, then we can move on to the next two or three things. And we don't worry about those, you know, 100 things that are actually sitting out there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. And Michael and I talked about this on an episode, is that, you know, in bigger companies, there can be a lot of red tape of, you know, I need to get approval from this person before I do this and before we do that. Yeah. And it slows things down. And I know that at least within other departments, you can get to things a lot more quickly. And it sounds like you can do that too, that there's not all this time. Obviously, you have to consider things and decide what you're doing and plan. But you don't have to sit around and wait for lots of approvals to be able to make the changes that the customers are looking for.
Yeah, definitely not. Well, and especially with regards to those, like either true bugs mm-hmm. or those features that were really disguised as bugs. Like we don't wait around for anything. Like we try and knock those out like same day. Like we can literally be having, like support can be having a conversation with someone and say, oh, I've got my engineer working on this and I'm behind the scenes, like actually working on it. And within the same, like before they actually close out the conversation, like the problem can be fixed and often is. And that's like, I've never been in an environment where that happens. You know, typically it's like, oh yeah, we'll get back to you in 2 weeks on this, you know, or whatever, our next cadence or, you know, whatever. I've experienced that as a customer too with stuff is like, I know it should be very easy for you to just go in there and fix it. Can you please just go in and fix it? You know? And
right.
So we try to eliminate that as much as possible and make the customer's experience a lot better from that point of view too. Because there's nothing like seeing someone who says, oh, I've reported this thing and 10 minutes later, it's actually fixed. Oh, thank you very much. You know, that endears the person to you as a company and gets them excited about using your product going forward.
Absolutely. I mean, that's all part of this radical customer service that I know everyone strives for. And as a user, I mean, that would be amazing because I think a lot of times we go into these calls thinking like, oh, this is not going to be resolved, or this is call one of several that it's going to take to do this. So to be on the phone with someone and to have something resolved that quickly would be amazing. I think especially since, you know, for me, not really understanding all the things that would go into fixing a bug, I would probably go into that call feeling like, oh, even if they take this seriously, this is going to take a while. You know, there's people scrambling in the background to figure it out. And the fact that you can resolve that so quickly and make a point to do it, I mean, that's impressive on many levels. So I love that, you know, that's what's going on behind the scenes as this information is coming in. So related to customers, not so much the bugs, but really these feature requests that you're getting, is there any involvement from the customer as you're working on the feature? I know you're talking about like, oh, we'll keep you posted when this rolls out. You mentioned maybe beta testing for those bigger things that come down the road. But what's the customer involvement looking like, if any, sort of as the feature is being developed?
So I think that kind of depends on the feature, obviously.
Yeah.
For the most part, like we try and hash out with the customer. First of all, the way we prioritize and group things together is we look for features that get, you know, more than one, or actually it's more than, you know, 5 or 10 actual mm-hmm. requests for the same feature. So just because we get one request for one thing doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to go on the backlog to be worked. So we prioritize things based on how many requests we're getting in. So then when we're actually starting working on some of these features, we've had, you know, 10, 20, 30 people who've requested them. And they've kind of already, through the feature request process, given us a lot of the narrative as they see, as the customer, like the whole customer sees the feature. So we get a lot of, you know, conversation and back and forth, like in these either emails or chats, that really help shape what the feature should look like for starters. There are some features where we then, at that point, we'll go back to people, you know, like the 4 or 5 people that we know are most passionate about it, and kind of survey them or talk to them to try and gain a little bit more knowledge. But most of the time, because we have so many people who've already requested, like it's pretty clear to us what the thing actually needs to do. So then we work with a graphic designer, a UX expert to kind of put the feature together, sharing all this input with them. And then when we go in and we develop the feature, and then the very first thing we do is we do release it to a beta group or to certain people who we know are, maybe they're not part of our quote unquote beta group, but we know that they're passionate about it. So we will turn it on using we call a feature flag. So we can turn things on and off in the application for specific customers before we release it to everybody. For example, we did this with our vocalization or language localization feature that we rolled out earlier this year. where we had, you know, our 10, 20, 30 people who were really passionate about being able to have the receptionist run in, you know, English and Spanish and French all together. So we rolled that out, turned it on for those people, worked very close with those people to kind of smooth off all of those rough edges that I was talking about before. Yeah. And make sure that experience was good for them. Because we knew, okay, if we can get our passionate people really excited about it and they feel great about it, like then it's going to actually be successful for all of our customers. So that's the other way that we kind of work hand in hand with our customers to make sure things are done correctly before releasing to everyone. Because again, like you release to everyone and now you're going to get a whole bunch of feedback. You could get a bunch of feedback that's a bunch of noise. And
right.
Difficult to detect the signal versus if you're working with those like really passionate people about something, you know that the feedback that they give is actually real and authentic and they kind of understand it because they're the champions for that feature.
Absolutely. And then you can find those bugs, get those out of the way quickly, and then get it right to where you want it before you release to everybody.
Exactly.
Yep. Well, it's been so interesting talking to you about this process and how you sort of figure out the areas that you really want to work on versus maybe just the one thought here and there, how you really do tackle those bugs that were disguised as feature requests, how you get to those right away,
yeah.
And how you involve your customers in this process. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us before we finish up today about, you know, customer requests and feature requests?
No, I don't think so.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Dylan. This has been really interesting.
All right, thanks, Sarah. Have a good one.
Me too. We hope that you got some good insight into happiness, what we've got going on to ensure that our team and our clients are happy, and maybe what you would like to do to increase the satisfaction or measure that satisfaction for your own clients and customers. And if you'd like to check out our 2-week free trial with no credit card required and to see what we do to make our potential customers and then customers happy, check us out at thereceptionist.com.